SBS Dr. Syed Harun.
Mr. Speaker, sir, I thank members for their support of the bill as well as their comments on the bill. Please allow me to address members' comments in six broad areas. The first area is on the expanded functions and duties of the Building and Construction Authority, BCA, and the Urban Redevelopment Authority, URA. Mr. David Ho asked about URA's expanded coordinating role and how it will interact with existing planning functions of agencies like LTA, HDB, and PUB. First, let me clarify that URA already coordinates infrastructure and land use planning as part of its role as Singapore's National Urban Planning Authority. URA works with different agencies through existing interagency platforms and administrative processes to ensure that infrastructure is implemented ahead of time. These are large-scale infrastructure which are planned and implemented to support developments such as industries, public housing, and transport facilities and train lines. URA's role here is to coordinate and resolve differences in priorities and timelines across different projects to ensure quality infrastructure can be delivered in an optimized way. Therefore, what the amendments seek to do is to formally recognize URA's role and give it a clear mandate to coordinate and to coordinate the planning of infrastructure. As individual agencies each have their own development timelines and priorities, URA will coordinate the planning and implementation of major infrastructure such as road viaducts and underground utilities such as water, gas, and electricity networks above a certain scale. To ensure underground space is used efficiently and public disamenities such as repeated road openings are kept to a minimum. The amendments do not supersede the primary planning responsibilities and functions of agencies like LTA and HDB. These agencies will continue to lead planning and implementation of their development and infrastructure within their respective domains, such as for smaller scale municipal infrastructure. For instance, to Mr. David Ho's query, the retrofitting of lifts in overhead bridges will continue to be led by LTA. Agencies will continue to work together to resolve issues which require cross-agency collaboration. With regard to BCA's expanded functions in managing upgrading programs in private residential estates, Ms. Hazlina Abdul Halim asked about how BCA's role will complement that of other agencies, as well as about the resourcing for BCA. Mr. David Ho asked about the criteria for selecting private estates for upgrading, how works are prioritized and coordinated, and how their impact is measured. BCA will manage infrastructure upgrading projects in private residential estates. The respective roles of other agencies, such as HDB and NParks, remain unchanged. When needed, BCA will work with agencies to coordinate upgrading works as well as engagements with residents. And on resourcing, we will resource BCA as necessary to carry out its functions. Private residential estates are selected for upgrading based on a range of factors. For instance, under the Estate Upgrading Program, EUP, which enhances the publicly accessible common areas in private estates, MND considers factors such as estate's age and physical condition, the urgency of works needed, and whether there is meaningful scope for improvement. The prioritization of upgrading works is based on specific conditions and needs of the estate, with a focus on improvements that directly enhance resident safety, accessibility, and livability. To Mr. Abdul Mohaimin Malik's question about the maintenance and upkeep of the completed works in EUP, the maintenance of upgraded infrastructure and facilities is undertaken by the respective agencies, such as NParks and LTA. A resident-centred approach is adopted for the evaluation of upgrading works to assess whether upgrades make a meaningful difference to residents' daily lives. For example, under the recently launched Enhance for Active Seniors Private Housing or Ease Private Program, BCA has introduced a post-installation feedback process to seek residents' views on their satisfaction with the application and installation process and to identify areas for improvement. To Mr. Abdul Mohamed Malik's question about the EASE private program, I wish to clarify that BCA appoints the contractors to install the senior-friendly fittings for eligible seniors to improve mobility and safety within their homes. MCSDs are not involved in this process. After installation, the owners or occupants would be responsible for the maintenance of the fittings. We have announced the details of the program in February 2026, and the member may wish to refer to the details of the program on the EASE private website. Mr. David Ho also asked about the nature of BCA's administrative support to the Professional Engineers Board and the Strata Titles Board, and the governance arrangements which will be put in place to ensure that the independence and judgment of the boards is preserved. I wish to assure the member that BCA's role is strictly administrative. BCA provides routine back-office administrative support to PEB and STB, such as in bookkeeping and payroll processing. All regulatory decision-making and educative functions remain solely with the respective boards. These arrangements allow the boards to focus on their core functions while benefiting from BCA's sectoral expertise and economies of scale from shared administrative resources. The next area is on the recognition of pre-qualification experience for professional engineers and architects. Mr. David Ho asked whether recognition of pre-qualification experience might dilute professional standards. The answer is no. To be clear, this set of amendments allow the Professional Engineers Board and the Board of Architects to consider recognizing relevant pre-qualification experience. Before doing so, the boards will assess whether the pre-qualification practical experience is relevant and adequately contributes to candidates developing the competencies and skills expected of a professional engineer or registered architect. The third theme of questions surround the validation of fees collected by MND's statutory boards, which Mr. David Ho, Ms. Valerie Lee, Mr. Fadli Fauzi, Mr. Andre Lowe, and Ms. Hazlina Abdul Halim raised. Now, the fees and charges in question were introduced over the years by various statutory boards for the provision of specific services to support residents' and industries' needs. The policy intent is clear and consistent with the cost recovery principles. But the fees were not formally prescribed in subsidiary legislation or the Parent Act at the time of implementation, as they were first regarded as administrative charges. Upon a 2025 review conducted by MND, in consultation with the Attorney General's Chambers, AGC, MND was advised that it is better for these identified fees to be provided for in legislation. I wish to assure Mr. David Ho that the fees were appropriate and charged in good faith for services that were duly provided based on the principles of cost recovery. We also disagree with how Mr. Andre Lowe and Mr. Fadli Fauzi has characterized the issue. MND has chosen to bring this issue to Parliament as we are open and transparent about the matter. The fees charged were appropriate, not wrongly collected, and we are validating to ensure that this is moving forward aligned with legislation. Mr. Andre Lowe also mentioned that 18 fees were acknowledged as genuinely wrongly charged, collected against policy intent, and were subsequently refunded as part of the Goods and Services Tax Amendment Bill in 2024. However, in those cases, only the GST was refunded and not the actual fee itself, as they were collected in line with policy intent. In the specific case of compulsory acquisition by the HDB, GST was not charged as part of the fees, and the fees were also collected in line with policy intent. To Mr. Mohamed's point on compulsory acquisition of HDB flats, compulsory acquisition cases are assessed on a case-by-case basis. And some cases are not just due to mortgage arrears, but are due to the violation of the HDB lease, such as renting out the entire flat during the minimum occupation period. On Ms. Valerie Lee and Ms. Hazlina Abdul Halim's queries, the fees are validated up to the date on which the fees are regularized and not 7th of April 2026. The cut-off date of 7 April 2026 is the date of the first reading of the bill. If the bill is passed, legal proceedings with respect of the collection of the payment of the fee or payment of the fees will be prevented from being instituted between the first reading and the date which the bill comes into force. This approach aligns to that for validations under previous bills, such as the Transport Sector Miscellaneous Amendment Bill. None of the validated fees were previously subject to legal challenge or adverse judicial comment. Moving forward, the agencies will assess if new fees or charges being introduced are related to the carrying out of statutory or regulatory functions and properly and properly prescribe them in legislation if needed. Fourthly, Mr. David Ho has asked about how the government will ensure that ordinary individuals Mr. David Ho has asked about how the government will ensure that ordinary individuals do not unknowingly break the law under the expanded endangered species framework. Mr. Speaker, NParks' approach is to tackle the issue upstream through regulating traders and businesses alongside public education and outreach so that ordinary consumers and hobbyists are not left in the dark. Information is available on the NParks website, and members of the public are welcome to reach out to NParks for clarity on whether permits or certificates are needed. On the amendments to the Wildlife Act, Ms. Hazlina Abdul Halim and Mr. Abdul Mohamed Malik asked about the government's plans to educate the public about the impact of feeding wildlife and partnership with social service agencies, particularly for seniors. Ms. Eliza Chen asked whether the government would consider alternative penalties for repeat bird feeding offenders, given that some offenders are seniors whose behaviour is linked to loneliness and a need for social support. As repeat offences will no longer be punishable only with a fine, the court will have other sentencing options under the Criminal Procedure Code 2010, including community-based orders such as mandatory treatment orders. To Mr. Abdul Mohamed's question, NParks will continue to partner agencies such as the People's Association and Town Councils on enforcement and surveillance efforts to deter illegal wildlife feeding. We do need appropriate penalties to deter errant behaviours, but our approach is not merely to penalise. NParks will continue its public education efforts and partner with the Agency of Integrated Care, Town Councils and other agencies to engage elderly offenders and those with mental health or psychological needs to understand their underlying needs and motivations that drive such behaviour, to address misconceptions and to raise awareness on the negative impacts of bird feeding. NParks offers feeders with mental health needs nature-based activities like community gardening and bird watching as alternatives to feeding. To Ms. Hazlina Abdul Halim's question on whether the government would publish data on illegal bird feeding, we have previously shared data with this House and will continue to do so where appropriate. Moving on to other miscellaneous amendments, MP Ms. Valerie Lee asked about the use of management funds of Management Corporation Strata Titles, or MCST. To clarify, the present amendments that are part of the bill had already been passed under the Building Maintenance and Strata Management Amendment Act in 2017 and do not introduce new policy. The amendments reenact these provisions, moving them into the statute's Miscellaneous Amendments Bill to facilitate staged commencement. The substantive policy intent remains unchanged. Mr. Speaker, sir, although this bill is largely technical in nature, it does play an important role in maintaining a clear and reliable legal framework to support the work of public agencies and delivery of services. I seek the House's full support for the bill. Mr. Speaker, sir, I beg to move.
Clarifications, Mr. Fadli Fauzi.
I would like to thank the Ministry for the clarifications. I think to begin with, I would like to frame clearly my concern with the bill. The effect of the bill is to now and forever extinguish the ability of those affected to claim any sort of financial restitution from the government, should it need be. Now, against this, we also have no idea about the size of the people who are affected. We also do not know the quantum affected. Are we talking about hundreds of thousands or hundreds of millions of dollars? So I hope the ministry can understand why there is this deep concern with me, especially since these are not, as I said before, these are not obscure transactions, but routine transactions which affect a huge number of people, a huge number of citizens of Singapore. And again, these are things like paying to expedite a TOP application, paying to register a renovation contractor. So I hope the ministry understands why it is, number one, important to get a sense of the numbers and the number of people, the numbers both in the sense of the total amounts that need to be claimed and the total amount of people affected. So I would like to reiterate the questions that I've asked. How much money in total was collected over under each of the four validating clauses and over what period? How many Singaporeans have been affected by these collections? How many are we talking about? And I think it is important to know this information before we decide on this matter. The other thing that sort of makes me apprehensive is that on what legal basis did each of the agencies think that they had authority to impose these fees and charges? Because if I'm not wrong, the SBS said that it was classified under administrative fees. But what was the legal basis of them enabling them allowing them to understand that they were allowed to charge these administrative fees? So again, I reiterate my second question. What legal basis did each of these agencies think that they had authority to impose these fees or charges in the first place? And of course, lastly, I think that it would be good for this House to reflect on why is it this happened. So I would also like to reiterate my last question on whether a cross-government review has been commissioned in response to the discovery. Because if it has happened for such a routine manner for over a long period of time, one can easily suspect that it may reoccur in other areas so that we can nip this problem in the bud early. Thank you.
SBS, Dr. Syed Haroon.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the member for the clarification. And I think, first of all, it's important that we frame this bill amendment appropriately. The member frames it as having those affected, whereby it seems to suggest that there was a mistake made in the past, and therefore we're trying to correct it. And something that we've done in the past seemed to be egregious in that sense. But the spirit of this bill is really about making sure that we move forward with the legislative backing and mandate for our agencies. Previously, these charges, everyday charges with regards to allowing the four agencies to fulfill their statutory functions, were regarded as administrative charges. And services were indeed duly provided by the agencies. And tomorrow, services will still be provided for by the agencies. And in the course of providing these services, they had expended additional resources to deliver the services to the end user, manpower costs, administrative costs, system costs, with a view towards delivering services for the public. And on top of that, these fees were charged on the basis of cost recovery for the provision of such services. And as I've mentioned earlier in my speech, opening as well as the roundup speech, that the review was conducted by the Ministry in 2025 in consultation with AGC, and it was advised that it is better for fees charged... Sorry, I say that again. It is better for the fees charged for carrying statutory and regulatory functions to be provided for in legislation, which is what we're doing today. So the framing of what Mr. Fadli is saying, that it is something that we are trying to claim back or claw back, it's not the right framing for which we are actually moving this bill forward. And essentially, it seeks to validate past collections of the same identified fees, which then further ensures that the fees are then subsequently legislated. The agencies are given the legislative backing to further promulgate these fees, and going forward, the fees will be regularised through subsidiary legislation under the relevant parent acts. Thank you.
Mr. Fadli, Palsy.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, SPS, for the clarification. I just would like to make it clear, I have no problems going forward about regularizing such provisions. My concern is that we have no idea about the actual numbers that are being involved, and we are asked to extinguish the rights of these people to claim any monies. So, would the Minister agree with me that the numbers are important, especially when assessing the risk of any oversight that has occurred with regard to the regulation of this bill? Thank you.
SPS.
I'd like to iterate back again to the member that the nature of the fees that were charged previously was really on account of the service that was rendered by the four agencies. So the fees were openly prescribed to the extent where the services were required by Singaporeans as well as consumers. And therefore, to that end, the services were indeed duly provided for by the agencies. And on top of that, it was on the basis of cost recovery. I hope that reassures the member that whatever fees that were rendered were indeed transacted appropriately through the different agencies in accordance with their desire to make sure that the services were rendered for the public good as well as that of industry.
Monsieur Berlin.
Thank you, Speaker. I have one clarification for the Senior Parliamentary Secretary, and that's on the necessity for the retrospective legislation. Because if I heard him correctly in his opening speech, he said that there was a comprehensive internal review after which MND was advised that the fees and charges should have been prescribed in the legislation, should have been prescribed. But in his roundup, he appears to be shifting to say that MND was advised that it's better to do it. So which is it?
SPS, Dr. Syed Harun.
It should have been prescribed, and therefore it was better that it would have been in legislation. Of course, which is...
Mr. William, if you would like to respond.
Yeah, sorry, sir. I should have stood up. Yeah. So on that clarification, then, we are given to understand that the collections were actually not legally authorised.
SPS, Dr. Syed Harun.
The fees, which were previously considered as administrative charges, have been advised to MND to ensure moving forward requires legislative backing to continue, because it is in the service of the statutory functions of the four agencies that are part of this amendment.
Mr. Andre Low.
Thank you, Speaker. My questions to the SPS are in three parts. The first is a bit of a repetition of what my colleague, Mr. Fauzi, previously asked, but I don't believe his clarifications have been adequately addressed. It's simply about the numbers. Are numbers going to be forthcoming? Are they available? I would really appreciate a straight answer. Second, on the nature of the fees collected, I think my colleague Ms. Lim has also alluded to this. You mentioned earlier that fees and charges should have been prescribed in legislation, should have been being the operating terms. Now you are using a number of different terms: duly, appropriate, not wrongly collected, good faith. I think the simple question is, were the fees illegally collected? And I think on a reading of the fact that this bill is before us today, that we are regularising the position prospectively, it goes to follow logically that previously it was not legal. So perhaps if the SPS could clarify. And finally, it's a very simple question. Will there be refunds? If there are not going to be any refunds, why no refunds?
Minister Chi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think my colleague SPS Sai Harun has explained several times that the fees were previously considered as administrative fees. And he also explained why services were provided and these fees were collected on a cost recovery basis, which is the correct principle. So if the Workers' Party agrees that that is the correct approach, where we provide service, we should recover the costs, which will otherwise have to be funded by taxpayers if we don't do that. Then there's really no refund to talk about, because this is not a wrong collection. So I think that's the first point we've got to be clear. The second point is, we did this review ourselves, together with AGC. It wasn't due to a complaint or a question posed by a member of parliament. We initiated this review and we decided that to be upfront, to be open, to be transparent, we want to bring it to the House and do it properly. Going forward, we want to make sure that we put it into legislation so that there's clarity. And for those fees that were collected in the past, and as I've explained, not wrongly collected, they were appropriate and they were correctly collected. We want to make sure that we validate and we do this through this bill. So I hope we understand what this debate is about and what it is not about. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Pritam Singh.
Minister, do you have the number of people affected and the quantum of monies we're talking about? Does the government have that information, and is it prepared to share that information in Parliament before we vote on the bill?
SPS, Dr. Syed Harun.
I beg your indulgence, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I don't have the full number of the extent of the agent of the collective amount for as asked by Mr. Pritam Singh, but I can give you some indication in terms of what are the current numbers that we are looking at for specific agencies. In terms of the fees charged by Housing Development Board, the fees range from $3.27 for the renewal of a policy under the HDB Fire Insurance Scheme for owners who default in renewing the policy to $545 for an application for HDB's consent to sell a commercial property not under the lodgement scheme. We have other administrative fees which are also levied, but in total specific to HDB as an example, the total annual amount collected give me a minute just to make sure my numbers are right.
SPS, Dr. Syed Harun, if you need more time to gather the numbers, because we've been, Minister Chi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to explain to Mr. Singh and to the honourable members of the Workers' Party that it's not that we do not want to give you a number, it's that I hope you understand these fees were collected for over a long period of time. If I'm not wrong, I think since independence, when we first started. So we may not have the full accurate record of all the amounts collected that we are able to share with you precisely. And that's why I think my colleague, SPS Syed Harun, was struggling a little bit to look for the exact information. But let me put it this way. If we agree that amount that was collected is not incorrect, inappropriate, and wrongly collected, but it is because it was regarded as an administrative fee that was charged, then I think whatever the amount is, and we will certainly try our very best to see whether we can arrive at that number accurately, but whatever the amount is, I think it's something which we are trying to do what is right going forward, validating the past collections, and going forward, putting it into legislation. So I do seek Mr. Singh's understanding that we are dealing with a situation which goes back decades, and it's not the last 3 years or the last 5 years that we are able to obtain the information easily and accurately. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Singh.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hear what the Minister has said. I'm also sure the Minister has understood where the Workers' Party MPs are coming from. And I also would like to add that as the opposition, we come to this House to scrutinize bills. And it is our duty to ask those questions. Hence, those questions were asked not once, but they were asked repeatedly, I believe. They were not answered. So hence, we had to put that question out, even though I accept what the Minister is saying in terms of how far back it goes. Like in the explanatory statement to the bill, we didn't know that these charges went back to independence. I mean, so this is where we have to ask those questions, or some of them, I beg your pardon. But I note Minister's points, and I hope the SPS and the Minister has also understood the arguments that have been mounted by the Workers' Party MPs.
Minister Chi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank Mr. Singh for his comments and his understanding of the difficulty that my colleagues in MND have in trying to put the data together. I also understand, certainly, where the Workers' Party is coming from. And I think it's correct that we be clear what we are putting before the House, and that's why we took effort to explain what this issue is. What is the objective? what are the steps that we are taking in an open and transparent way. And I think that's something that will be helpful for people to understand. So if we are able to come up with the information subsequently to the best of our ability, I think we will certainly be happy to share this with Mr. Singh and with the House. But for today, I do seek the support of members from the Workers' Party that if you agree with the intent of what we are trying to do with this bill, not just this provision, but the others as well, and the spirit of what we are trying to achieve, and the explanations that we have given in terms of what happened, the nature of these fees, what steps we are taking going forward, I do hope to have your support too for this bill. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Gerald Kim.
So I thank the minister for his replies. I understand the difficulty in getting the exact numbers, but is there an order of magnitude that the government can provide as to how many such fees were collected and what's the total quantum? Just an order of magnitude. It doesn't have to be an exact number. And secondly, given the difficulty, is the government prepared to refund these fees, these fees which were illegally collected? And is the government prepared to provide at least a window of time for the claimants to make a claim for these fees which were not correctly collected?
Minister Chi.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry, I cannot agree with the way Mr. Giam has characterised the issue with his latest remarks. I've explained earlier that these fees were not illegally or wrongly collected and they were not inappropriately collected. I've explained why. Services were provided, costs were incurred. We were trying to recover the costs for providing these services. So there isn't a wrong collection that we are required to refund or we should refund. So this is quite different from the previous case that Mr. Andre Low cited about the GST, where indeed some of the amounts were wrongly collected. And for that one, the government provided the refund. And in cases where indeed that mistake was made and the wrong collection happened, I think that is the correct thing to do. And we have done it and we will do it. But in this situation, I hope Mr. Giam understands the explanation that I've been, and my colleague SPS Harun had been providing, which is that these were actual services that were provided, fees were collected based on cost recovery, and so it was not a wrong collection. Thank you.
Mr. Fadli Fauzi.
I thank the minister for the question. I just would like to, again, state my concerns with the issue. Firstly, if these fees go a long way back and they affected a large number of people because, these are over very routine things, then would the minister agree with me that there is a real risk of some kind of administrative oversight? That's one. And I think this is in contrast with the finality of the extinguishing of the claims, because my concern is that there is a real risk of oversight due to the amount of people involved, and we should not have such a finality of the extinguishing of their claims. Rather, we should give them some time or at least the options of refunds. So that's one part of it. The other part is a question that I raised earlier about how they decided that they had the statutory basis to charge administrative fees, because going forward, I think this would be useful as a process, as a process issue, because to avoid being in such a similar situation going forward. Thank you,
Minister Chi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think Mr. Fadli, I had explained to Mr. Fadli and also to other members that the fees were not wrongly or inappropriately collected. So with the issue of administrative oversight, I'm not sure what he meant by that. If what he meant was that we wanted to make it clearer, yes, I agree, and that's why we are here. Because we wanted to make sure that going forward, the situation is clearer, there's less ambiguity. So if that's what Mr. Fadli meant, then yes, we're on the same page, because that's what we are trying to do with this bill. Make the situation clearer for the fees going forward. But we still need to deal with the past collection. And what we are proposing, coming to this House in an open manner, transparent manner, and to explain what the situation is that we want to validate those collections which were done in the past because they were treated as administrative fees. And that's what this bill is about. So I thought we had arrived at a position where there's some level of common understanding when I heard Mr. Singh. So I hope the Workers' Party members could also agree with our explanation. And like what Mr. Singh said, we understand where the Workers' Party is coming from as well. And if we could seek your support for this bill, based on the explanations that we have given, and as I said earlier, we will go back and see to what extent it's possible for us to put together the data that you requested for. We will try our best. We will share this data with you to the best of our ability to put it together so that you have a sense of the quantum, you have a sense of the amount that we're talking about every year. That's something that we will attempt to do. But for now, I seek your support for this bill. Thank you, sir.
Okay, I hope I'm starting to hear the same questions and the same responses. So if there are further clarifications, I will allow it, but let's not repeat the same questions because you'll get the same answers. Mr. Fadli Fauzi.
I think the minister asked me what I meant by administrative oversight. What I mean is human error. In all systems, no system is perfect. So I think it's perfectly understandable if people make mistakes. So if this is issue affects a large number of people, there is a larger chance that a mistake would be made. So that is what I mean by administrative oversight.
Minister Chi.
Speaker, I thank Mr. Fadli for his clarification. I think we're talking about two separate things. Today, we are not here to present a case where there was human error because the fees were wrongly computed or wrongly collected. Today, we are here because the nature in which these fees were prescribed, they were treated as administrative. But going forward, we will put them into legislation. And then there's this issue of what to do with the past collections, which we are proposing through this bill for Parliament's agreement to validate. So I think two separate issues. And that's why I said I don't think this is an issue of administrative oversight in the way in which Mr. Fadli had described. Thank you, sir.
Ms. Lim.
Thank you, Speaker. Clarification for Minister. I think it's quite clear we're not denying that services were provided and residents had benefited from the services. And I also would say that we do appreciate that MND did this internal review to uncover this problem, if I can say that. But would the Minister also not agree, really, that it is an important safeguard for citizens that the government acts in accordance with its legal authority? And one of those principles is that if the government is going to collect money like taxes, fees from the citizens, then it has to be properly authorised by Parliament. So the fact of the matter is that those past collections were not authorised. And that's why AGC has said that they should have been prescribed. And that's why we're here today.
Minister Chi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please allow me to clarify Ms. Lim's point that it depends on how the fees are being classified. Because if they are classified as administrative fees, then the fees can be collected by the agencies. But in this case, because they are considered regulatory And therefore, the advice is that it is more appropriate, it's better if we put it into legislation going forward. So that's what we have done. So I think that's an important point that I need to clarify. It's not that the administrative fees we were unauthorized to collect. That was not the case.
Mr. Singh.
Minister, I don't want to belabor the question. Was the MND advised after the review with the AGC, was it the AGC's position that collections before the first reading of the bill were illegal?
Minister Chi.
Mr. Speaker, my understanding from the review was that AGC felt that rather than leave it as an administrative arrangement, it is better, given the nature of these fees, for us to put it into legislation. So that's what we are doing. But AGC also supported, and that's why we won't be able to present this bill if it's not with the support of the AGC, that we come to Parliament and seek Parliament's approval for the bill to validate the past collection. So that's what we are doing.
Mr. Singh.
Mr. Speaker, that doesn't really answer the question. Was it the AGC's position that the collections hitherto were illegal?
Minister Chi.
I've explained this earlier, Mr. Speaker, that AGC's advice to us was that these fees, because we consider them as administrative, it is better going forward from a legal point of view to put them into the legislation. And that's what we are doing. So we don't want to leave this loose end unaddressed about the past collection. And the way in which we do address this is to bring the bill before the House in an open manner and to explain to the House this is what happened, this is what we are proposing, and to validate these past collections because they were treated as administrative fees in the past, not that they were illegal or inappropriate or wrongly collected, as a few members have used those terms. That's not the case. But for avoidance of doubt and to reduce ambiguity, it is better to bring it before the House and to validate these fees through this bill. So that's the approach that we are taking. And I hope, as I said, to be able to get the support from the whole House in terms of how we deal with this, so that we can move forward. But going forward, the fees will be part of the legislation, so we will be in compliance with the advice from AGC arising from the review. Thank you, sir.
Let me put the question to the House now. The question is that the bill be now read a second time. Those who agree, say aye. Those who disagree say no.
No.
Mr. Singh?
Mr. Speaker, obliged if you can record our dissent, please.
Okay. We will have that recorded. Could those who want to have that dissent recorded, please stand? Okay, you miss it. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
Statutes Miscellaneous Amendments Bill.
Committee stage what day?
Now, sir, on behalf of the Minister, I move that the Parliament will immediately resolve itself into a committee on the bill.
The question is that Parliament will immediately resolve itself into a committee on the bill. Those who agree say aye.
Aye.
Those who disagree say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Clause 1. The question is that Clause 1 stands part of the bill. Those who agree say aye.
Aye.
Those who disagree say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Clause 2, Minister for National Development.
Chairman, I move the amendment to Clause 2 standing in the Minister's name as indicated in the order paper supplement. The reason for the amendment has been explained in my second reading speech.
The question is as proposed by the member. The question is the amendment to Clause 2 proposed by the Minister for National Development as indicated in the order paper supplement. Those who agree say aye. Those who disagree say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Clause 2 as amended. The question is that Clause 2 as amended stands part of the bill. Those who agree say aye. Those who disagree say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Clauses 3 to 19. The question is that clauses 3 to 19 stand part of the bill. Those who agree say aye.
Aye.
Those who disagree say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Clause 20, Minister for National Development.
Chairman, I move the amendment to Clause 20 standing in the Minister's name as indicated in the order paper supplement. The reason for the amendment has been explained in my second reading speech.
The question is as proposed by the member. The question is the amendment to Clause 20 proposed by the Minister for National Development as indicated in the order paper supplement. Those who agree say aye. Those who disagree say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Clause 20 as amended. The question is that Clause 20 as amended stands part of the bill. Those who agree say aye. Those who disagree say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Clause 21. Question is that Clause 21 stands part of the bill. Those who agree say aye.
Aye.
Those who disagree say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Bill to be reported. Minister for National Development.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Minister, I report that the bill has been considered in committee and agreed to with amendment.
Third reading what day?
Now, sir. On behalf of the Minister, I move that the bill be now read a third time.
The question is that the bill be now read a third time. Those who agree say aye.
Aye.
Those who disagree say no.
No.
I will record all those who wish to have their dissent recorded. Could you please stand? All right, you may sit. Thank you. I think the ayes have it.
Statutes, Miscellaneous Amendments Bill.